Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Violence after the pandemic. We're told across America, especially in the big cities, violence has not abated. It's increased. What is to be done? One program, Cure Violence Global, I learned from Daniel Knowles of The Economist magazine. He's based in Chicago. Daniel, a very good evening to you. Thank you. Frederick Eccles is the CEO of Cure Violence Global. What is a violence interrupter? How does it work? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Very good to be here. So violence interruption is this model that started in Chicago around 20-odd years ago. It's now kind of spread all over the country. There are lots of different variants. Cure Violence is one of the organizations that kind of does it. And in general, what it involves is having workers on the streets whose job it is to kind of know, you know, who the young men, and it is generally men, who get involved in violence and violent crime are, you know, who, what their kind of relationships with each other are, and just try to stop them from, you know, doing a shooting or getting into a fight before it happens, basically by power of persuasion.
The conversation is a good idea, Daniel, for human beings everywhere, especially people feeling beleaguered or alienated or isolated. Is it that straightforward and simple if you sit down with a young man and say, what's bothering you or what are you afraid of? Does that lead to persuasion? Does that lead to a relationship?
Well, it's a pretty difficult job, you know. The kind of people who do it, they also tend to be men, generally a little bit older, you know, in their 30s or 40s, but men who might have been in that same sort of situation when they were, you know, younger, and kind of understand, you know, what makes people want to do a violent act, or why they might feel scared or need to carry a gun or want to carry a gun, that kind of thing. So they kind of come at it ideally with the, you know, approach of, well, you know, I know what it's like. And then I think some of the time it does, you know, it works when people can be talked down. They don't always want to do something violent that will ruin their lives as well as the person that they might be attacking. So it's kind of a, you know, I gather from the people I met doing this work that it's tricky work, but if you can get somebody at the right time when they're most angry, kind of calm them down, then they'll begin to see things differently and you might be able to avert something terrible.
You introduce us to Ricky Usher, a.k.a. Dip, D-I-P, who coaches basketball in Atlanta. He has a supervisor as well, and Eric Johnson. And his supervisor comments on, first of all, as you've said, men in their 30s or 40s who've had trouble with police or been incarcerated. And that, what struck me, Daniel, the quote is, you can't be no stool pigeon, you can't be no snitch, is that this sounds very much like the movies of nearly 90 years ago, when a priest would hear about violence in a gang-related relationship and would be reluctant to get the police involved. In other words, you would hang back. You're not there as the ears of the authorities. So where are the police? As you know, a good father, a good priest 100 years ago, where are the police in this mix? Do they have conversations with Eric Johnson or Dip, or are they completely removed from these conversations?
It depends where you are, which model, but in Atlanta, I believe, you know, they will talk to the police in terms of the police will share information with them, and they'll talk about, you know, what might be going on. What they don't do is kind of pass information to the police that, you know, might result in arrests or anything, because that would kind of undermine their credibility and make their jobs harder. And you know, and when I spoke to police, kind of senior police officers about this too, and they say, well, you know, it has to be a kind of one-way street because otherwise you sort of undermine the entire model. It won't work if violence interrupters are seen as sort of stooges of the police. So they have to be somewhat independent, but they do still talk. You know, there's an information flow from the police to the interrupters, for sure.
I understand why talking to a young man who's frightened or angry makes sense, but how do you pay for this? I note in your reporting the American Rescue Plan has put cash into the cities. Does the violence interruption speak to this, what was a very loud organization several years ago, Defund the Police? Is this part of the adaption of Defund the Police? Not defund the police, but provide facilities in place of the police who, and there are less police in America, fewer police in America today than there were.
I think there's some of that. I think there's very little places where it's kind of straightforwardly been taken from police budgets, although some of that has happened. But in general, you know, cities are investing in this and spending more money on it because, well, A, they've got some money from the federal government, and B, you know, even if they want to hire more police and want to spend more on policing, you know, there's a real recruiting challenge and retirement kind of challenge with policing at the moment. So there's a kind of throw everything at the wall if you can and see what sticks approach in some places. But definitely some of the people who would like to see, you know, a defunding of the police, or some of the people who would like to see a change maybe in how policing works at any rate, even if they don't want to defund it, kind of are quite hopeful about what you can do with these kind of projects. And I think that's helped, you know, encourage officials to try them at least and to put money into them. And you know, the federal government too, which is also putting money aside for more policing, you know, is trying to encourage this as well. So
the University of Chicago has a study about whether it's effective or not, this idea of interrupting violence in conversation. Does the study show promise, or is it too early?
It shows promise. Chicago's crime lab, the University of Chicago's crime lab, did a study of a program here called READY. And what made READY quite rare among these kind of programs is that they chose essentially through a kind of randomized lottery which young men they would work with from a kind of list of, you know, vulnerable ones, and that way they were able to have a control group and to be able to, you know, compare how likely those who were involved in the kind of project to get shot or to be arrested was to those not involved. And they showed, you know, a big reduction in the number of arrests and the number of victimizations, so people shot. So what they weren't able to show kind of with the full scientific kind of confidence that you would normally want is 95% confidence is that this was, you know, this wasn't random essentially, but they showed kind of 85% confidence, so an 85% chance that the project was responsible for the kind of reductions in violence seen as opposed to it just being a coincidence. So that's, you know, quite positive.
Group violence interruption. Is this spreading, or because the way you reported, it has existed for some time, but after the pandemic, as I said, generally, we're experiencing disorder in cities in an alarming amount. Does this make this program more attractive? Are there more cities investigating?
So these projects have been going a while. You know, Cure Violence has been going for over 20 years, and there are other projects like Ceasefire in Boston and something similar in Baltimore, but they really escalated in the last kind of 2 or 3 years, you know, since the pandemic and since the spike of violence, which has happened almost everywhere since the pandemic. I think that coupled with the fact that, you know, police departments have lost a lot of police officers and that sort of thing has just meant that everywhere wants to try this because they want to try everything. So it's suddenly expanding very rapidly in lots and lots of different cities.
And Daniel, always morale is important. In your conversations with these organizations, do they have good morale, or are they discouraged because of the level of shootings?
I mean, honestly, I found every kind of violence interruption person I've met and interviewed to be, you know, astonishingly optimistic. I mean, I think they do good work, but they really do think that they are bringing down violence quite significantly. And they, you know, don't seem to get disheartened by how much still happens. I'm sure that, you know, when a client or when somebody that they're working with gets shot, though, it must be very depressing. But, yes. but in the ones I've met, they seem to really, they don't seem to get too disheartened. They seem to push through and stay committed.
Daniel Knowles for The Economist magazine. He's based in Chicago, reporting on violence interrupters. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.